You're to marry your own kind, not ethnic groups, but speaking of Christians. You see? And you are not, as a young person, ever to be looking for a wife, because God already, from the foundations of the world, already knows who is going to be your wife and who's going to be your husband. What God desires is that you become rooted and grounded in God's word, and that you wait upon God to bring you that wife or that husband.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul and his wife Sharon have been married for almost 50 years. As they've journeyed through life together, their relationship has given them a glimpse of the union God desires to have with each one of us. For their full story, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Or for a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. Today, we'll continue our series in Genesis with a look at the beautiful symbolism of Isaac's relationship with his wife, Rebekah. Raul will explore how their story not only offers assurance of God's sovereignty over marriage, but it also paints a picture of the deeply personal union that God desires for each of us to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Raul now with today's lesson.
He says, "Now Abraham was old and was well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham with all things. The blessings of God in Genesis chapter 12 came to pass with Abraham, how God had become his possession. He was a very wealthy man in the land of Canaan. At this particular point now in chapter 24, Abraham becomes the type of the father, as the father now is sending his servant Eliezer. We don't see the name of Eliezer here, but Eliezer is actually his big servant, the major servant of Abraham. And at this particular time, he becomes the type of the Holy Spirit, as the father now sends the Holy Spirit to seek for a bride for his son, Jesus Christ, or for Isaac, becoming the type of Jesus Christ. Look what a beautiful picture there is here. Verse 2. "And Abraham said to the old servant," and it's interesting because the word Eliezer literally in the Hebrew means "God is my help." It's the same name of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's a beautiful name of a type of the Holy Spirit searching out for a wife for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he said, "Please put your hand under my thigh." Now, this was the way they would make a covenant with that person. Now, to us, that would be weird and, you know, it would not be decent, but this is the way they used to make covenants. And look what he says. "I will make you swear by the Lord your God of heaven and the God of the earth." And notice what he's swearing to. "That you will not take a wife of my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." Now, this is something interesting. Young people, listen carefully. And those of you that are a little bit older and maybe you're single and you're thinking about getting married again, listen carefully. All the way back into the Old Testament, at the beginning of the book of Genesis, here God again is establishing a covenant not to be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. Notice what he said. "When you go and find a wife for my son, I want you to go to what? To my own people." The only reason in the Old Testament that God would not allow a Jew to marry outside of that Jewish home is because most of the people outside of the Jewish home were what? Were worshiping other gods, you see? To marry someone outside of God's covenant would be to what? To come against God. Because God warns us in the scriptures that you're to marry your own kind, not ethnic groups, but speaking of Christians, you see? And you are not, as a young person, ever to be looking for a wife, because God already, from the foundations of the world, already knows who is going to be your wife and who's going to be your husband. What God desires is that you become rooted and grounded in God's word, and that you wait upon God to bring you that wife or that husband. That's what the Bible teaches. But look what he says, verse 4. Here it is. But you shall go to my country and to my people and take a wife for my son Isaac. You see? You go to those of our kind, which in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, would be what? Christians with Christians, not marrying outside of the Christian faith. You see? You want to make sure you wait on God for what God has intended to give to you. And so here we see it. Then he says in verse 5, and then the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? And Abraham said to him, beware that you do not ever take my son back there. Notice that. No, she will be willing. Why? Because God the Father will place it in her heart to be submissive and to bring her to his son. I like that. I love that. You see? The son is not to go look for the wife. He's to stay. And the Holy Spirit will bring his wife to him. So here is the whole scriptural background to that. Then again he says in verse 6, but Abraham said, beware that you do not take my son back there. And then the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son there. Notice, God is going to lead you. God is going to provide for you that wife for my son. Mark that scripture. It's the Lord that brings that woman. It's the Lord that brings that maid to me. It is not I looking for a wife or a husband. It's the Lord, the one that does the work. Verse 8. And then if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. You see, if she's not willing to come, then just break it off and then come back. We're not going to strive in this whole issue. Verse 9. And so the servant put his hand again under his thigh, and Abraham his master, and he swore to him concerning this matter. Notice the obedience of the servant, the obedience of the Holy Spirit. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels as a gift and departed, for all his master's good were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, going back again to where Abraham came from, to the city of Nahor, which was named after Abraham's brother Nahor. And then he made his camels kneel down outside the city on a well of water at evening time, in the time when the women went out to draw water. In that Oriental culture, the men never went to the well. It was always the women carrying on top of their heads the water container. You still see that in Israel today among the Arabs. And it's so incredible when you see that. Notice the prayer of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, in going about what God has commanded him to do. Verse 12. Look at the prayer here. Incredible prayer. And then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show me kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of this man of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels to drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you are showing kindness to, notice, to my master. I love that. Notice how he goes by the scripture and how he waits in God's perfect will here. Now he says in verse 15, and it happened before he had even finished speaking. Notice how quickly God answers prayer. Some of you are saying, oh no, it's been a long time. God's timing. Notice that. At this particular moment, the moment he finished praying, here comes Rebecca. Look at what it says. And it happened before he finished speaking that, behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with the pitcher on her shoulder. And now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, and no man had known her. Notice the picture here in typology of the church of Jesus Christ, where Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through verses 32, he paints the picture of the husband and wife relationship as he paints the picture of the virgin, the bride of Christ. Here we see it, beautiful, and she's a virgin. Behold, no man has known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and then came back up. And then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. And so she said, drink, my Lord. And then, check this out, she hastened and let her pitcher down with her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will also draw water for your camels also until you have finished the drinking. Can you imagine how his heart was beating knowing this is it? Oh, man, exciting. I don't have to look anymore. This is it. God has answered my prayer. This is the one for Abraham, my servant. Notice he's obedient to his servant. The servant's obedient to his master. And then again, verse 15, and then it happened before he finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, again. In verse 19, and when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they had finished drinking. And she hastened the emptied her pitcher into the drought, ran back and then the well to draw water and drew it as his camels. And then the men wondering at her remained silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And so it was when the camels had finished drinking that the men took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two braces of her wrist weighing a shekel of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, if there is room in your father's house for me to lodge in tonight. And then again, notice what it says, verse 23. And then he said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, if there's enough room for me to stay tonight. And so she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Michael's son, who's born to Nahor. That is, again, her father. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw to feed you enough and room enough so that you can stay overnight. And then the man bowed his head. And what is the first thing the Holy Spirit does? Notice, he begins to thank God, to worship God. All glory and honor goes not to the Holy Spirit, but to God the Father. Notice that. And he bowed his head. And he began to worship the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my father Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. For he says, for me being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Mark that, young people. The Lord led me. The Holy Spirit is leading you. The Holy Spirit is leading you not only in your personal life, but in all things that Christ has for you. You see? So important that we understand that. And so the young woman ran and told her those of her mother's house these things. And now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. I want you to remember Laban in the next couple of weeks to come. Greedy Laban. And then Laban ran out, he says, to the man by the well. And it came to pass that when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets in his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood, notice, and by the camels by the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. He really would not be courteous unless he had seen the gold. And so he's playing up to him, come in, O blessed of the Lord, why do you stand outside? Come on in, for I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. He was after the gold, really not really being hospitable here. And then the men came to the house and he unloaded the camels and provided straw to feed the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And then his food was set before him to eat, but he said, no, I will not eat until I have told you why I am here. Notice the importance and the urgency of the Holy Spirit. Notice, I can't eat, I can't drink until I tell you why I'm here. And so then he says again, notice he tells them, verse 33. He says, for food already was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you why I am here. And then they said, well, go ahead, speak on. And so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given, notice how the Holy Spirit honors the Father and speaks in honor to the Father, never building himself up, but always giving glory to God the Father. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold. Notice, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my servant's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he was given all that he has. And now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife from the sons or the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife for my son. So he's rehearsing everything that Abraham told him to do. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk, I will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife from my son, from my kindred, and from my father's house. And you will be clear for this oath when you arrive among my kindred, for they will not give her to you. Then you will be released from my oath. And it says, and this day I came to the well and I said, O Lord God of my father, he's telling what happened, Abraham, if you will prosper me today in this way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of the water, and it will come to pass that when the virgins come out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water to drink and a pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw water for your camels. Also let her be the woman, notice, whom you, the Lord, has appointed for my master's son. Three times already he said that, the importance of the appointment divinely by God to give his son a wife. But before I had finished speaking, in my heart, there was Rebecca coming out of her with her pitcher in her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew the water. And I said to her, please, Rebecca, let me drink. And she said, she made haste, she hurried up, she let her pitcher down and said, drink, and I will give to your camels to drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. That was a hard job for a woman. And then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, from Milcah before him. So I put a nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed down my head and I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth and taken the daughter of my master's brother for his son. And now, if you will be dealing kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn into the right hand to the left. Now, if you're going to give your daughter to my master's son, let me know right now. If not, I can depart in peace. Notice, he's not forcing the issue, but what is he expecting? He wants the bride to be in submission to the husband. Watch this. This is so beautiful. As God here gives us the insight. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord, then we cannot speak to you either bad or good. Notice, if this is of the Lord, then God wins. Notice the submission of the family to the Lord. And then here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. Notice, when you're married, what happens? You break all ties with your parents and with your friends, because now you become one with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you forget about them, but they don't come into your marriage. You see, this is pretty neat. Then he says this. And then it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped again the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And then the servant brought out the jewelry, the silver, the dowry that it was given to the wife, jewelry, gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Notice all of the beautiful things Christ gives us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then he and the men who were with him ate, and they drank, and they stayed all night. And then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, well, let the young woman stay with us just a few more days, then at least 10 days after she may go. And so they said, we will call the young men and ask her personally. Now, let's bring her in and see. If she wants to go, then she can go. But if she wants to stay, she can stay. Verse 58. And so they called Rebecca, and they said to her, Rebecca, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Notice her beautiful, beautiful submission to the Holy Spirit. Submitting now to the Holy Spirit. They had to journey 500 miles by camel. I don't know if you've ever ridden a camel. I have. It's worse than a Jeep. I'll tell you. Especially for a woman riding on a camel for 500 miles. But here again, we see the journey that the church has to take, even in this life. It's not an easy journey. It's a very, very rough journey as we have trials and we have temptations in our life. But yet we can bear them all with Jesus Christ if we are submitted to His will. We can do anything with Jesus Christ. All things are possible with God. And so they sent her away, Rebecca and the sister and her nurse and Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, notice the words of blessing by her parents, "Oh, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands and ten thousands." Imagine that. They want a lot of kids. "And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." And remember, they were in the line of Jesus Christ, just as God had promised. "And then as Rebekah and her maids arose and they rode on the camels and they followed the men, so the servant took Rebekah and departed." Notice here the beautiful picture of the church. And then here is the type of Jesus Christ. "And now Isaac came from the way of Beer-lehi-roi, who dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and their camels were coming." Can you imagine the excitement that he had? I wonder if she's coming. There's that excitement when you're first dating and you know that this is the one that the Lord has given to you. There's an excitement that that God puts in your heart, not only before you get married, but after you're married, you have to work on that relationship that God places in your heart. We see the beautiful picture here, the excitement of Jesus when he sees his bride fully precious and beautiful, now coming so that the marriage can be joined together to Jesus Christ. And then verse 64, he says, "And then Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and she saw Isaac, and immediately she dismounted from her camel. For she said to their servants, 'Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?' And the servants said, 'Hey, it's my master.' And so she took a veil, and she covered herself," which was proper as a virgin to cover herself. It's amazing that when he probably saw her, man, he was just flipped out. Playing it cool to see how the Lord would do the work here. But here we see the beautiful picture of the innocence of the church with Christ. And then verse 66, this is so beautiful. "And then the servant told Isaac all the things that had been done, and he did not waste any time. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife," notice, "and he loved her just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Think about that. How husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what the Bible teaches.
We've seen today how Isaac and Rebekah's story offers an encouraging glimpse into God's heart and his desire for each of us to experience true intimacy with his son, Jesus Christ. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Our number is 800-634-9165. And when you make your request, simply ask for Raul's lessons from Genesis chapters 23 and 24. To support you in pursuing greater depth in your relationship with Christ, we'd like to offer you a helpful resource from Jim Cimbala. It's a hardcover book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. It'll show you how to effectively navigate life in step with Christ as you listen for his leading and submit to his authority. You'll also be challenged to integrate more prayerful conversations with the Lord throughout your day and learn to more fully rely on the Holy Spirit's wisdom and direction. Get in touch with us to order Jim Cimbala's hardcover book titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. We'll send your copy for a gift of $10 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For more encouragement from God's Word, check out the brand new Somebody Loves You app. You can download it on your iPhone or Android and link to live webcasts, review Rawls' teaching from the current series, or experience legacy studies from the archives. If you appreciate what you've heard today, then consider helping someone else by sharing a contribution with Somebody Loves You Radio. Every donation is tax deductible and is an eternal investment in people's lives all over the world. Next time, we invite you to join us for more biblical truth to ground your heart and guide your steps as you pursue God's perfect plan for your life. Here's Roll now once again with the final word from today's lesson.
I want you this week to go home and read Ephesians chapter 5 and get the picture here in chapter 24, verses 61 through 67, what Christ says about the church. And here we have this beautiful picture of Jesus loving us and caring for us and watching over us. Notice this. And so he took his wife and he loved her so that Isaac now was comforted after his mother's death. So Rebecca became the fulfillment not only as his wife, but they both became one and he was satisfied with her. And so is the picture that one day when we die and we're in the presence of the Lord, we shall be with the Lord forever and ever. And we shall be married to the Lord forever and ever. And he will become our husband. One day very soon that is going to happen.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.